Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, yes it is. Heavenly Father, we just once again thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We thank you that in these days you're revealing the things to come by your Spirit. And I thank you that you're preparing us perfectly and causing us to rise above all the schemes of the enemy. So we just give you this service, Father, and we just ask that you take us where you would have us go. And we thank you once again, Father, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn over to Hebrews 3. I'll get there in a bit. But I just want to do a bit of a review. These are extremely important days. And the greatest danger that I've seen over the past weeks and months is this onslaught of spiritual darkness that, of course, is first of all encompassing the world and obviously encompassing those who are in fellowship with the world. And so we as Christians have to be extremely cautious, with a holy caution, to put ourselves in a position to allow God to deal with us day in and day out and to prepare us and bring us to the place where we can, again, rise above all the schemes of the enemy, not be ignorant of anything that he's attempting to do, either individually or corporately, because the battle's about to begin in a way that we've never seen before, but yet we can know by faith that we're perfectly prepared. So I'm going to share some things as I go on and just go where the Spirit leads me. When I started this series, I just was totally impressed just to really be sensitive to the pace of the Holy Spirit. Because you could do a series called The Days Ahead and talk about a lot of things that God's revealed. But the most important facet as far as anything goes is us being prepared so that we can receive the fullness of what God has. If we're not prepared, and as I'm going to show you from some examples, then Christians are going to miss it completely. And that's not a good thing. So just reviewing, again, the divine requirement. Luke 10:27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and being, strength. That is the prerequisite to comprehension in this last hour. A heart wholly given to God is the key to understanding all things. We need to understand all things as they pertain to us individually day by day, and also, of course, for the corporate manifestation of God's plan to come forth and our part in it. Ephesians 3, Paul talked about the fact that we needed to be rooted and grounded in love, and he said that we may be able to comprehend. You cannot comprehend the kingdom of God unless you're rooted and grounded in love. And what that means, that's not a level we reach. That's a day-by-day seeking to come into that place of abiding in love, and that's what allows us to comprehend. So even a person who's just born again, but whose heart's filled with the love of God and seeking after and hungering after righteousness, they will be able to comprehend, whereas somebody who's caught up in religious exercise will move into a place of deeper and deeper darkness, and even the things they once understood, they won't be able to understand in light of God's plan. So it's very, very important that we become rooted and grounded in love. And if you can draw the picture of a strong oak tree that's been around even hundreds of years, and you can imagine the tremendous root structure that's under that tree. And so when a certain wind comes along, that thing is able to stand steadfast in its place. Whereas if it's, of course, a plant that's just been planted, has a very weak root system, that same wind will blow it away. So again, it comes down to a matter of position. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see all things that they need to see. Extremely important. Because again, there is a deep darkness beginning to encompass the world. We can see it by reading the headlines, but actually there's always been fanatics and people who are totally sold out to the devil. But this is a much more subtle and all-encompassing darkness that will touch everything that finds itself in alignment with the world. Now, for us as Christians, we're warned, of course, not to be conformed to this world system and its ways. Well, the ways of the world system are self-attainment, self-effort, self-glory. And that is the extreme danger for the Christian, that we have to make sure day in, day out, again, that we're in a position where anything in us can be made evident by the Holy Spirit, so that we're not unaware, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to do the continually deeper work of the cross in us. You know, that just seems to be one element that you can see being removed from anybody out there in the so-called church that has some element of self-promotion. They've lost sight of the cross. And again, the instruction for us to guard our heart with all diligence is so important day in, day out, because nobody, and I mean nobody, is exempt from the temptations of the evil one, persecutions, different things that can cause us to get off track. So we're going to go where the Holy Spirit goes today and study on some things. And Hebrews 3, I think I told you to turn there, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. Those two things go hand in hand. If we allow ourselves to go astray in our hearts, in other words, in some way maintain self-desire and go that way, then we will not know his ways. And again, that's why it's so important for us to pursue purity of heart, so that we can see and know God's ways. Because in a time when he is about to come on the scene in a way that he's never been able to before, we must be prepared in all ways. And that's from a personal level, but it's also from a personal level for us to minister to others, to be in a position to help others. Because I'm telling you right now, some are going to get caught. And it's not in a good way. But thank God, God's hand is on everything. But we must be in a position to help the people who are caught. And the rebellious will go their own way. But there will be people who will come into a place of a deep and thorough repentance. Now, so it's important right now that we establish in our hearts that we know God's ways, that we seek after his ways, that we know the Father's heart. It's actually the Father's desire for every one of his children to come to the place where they see all things through his eyes. When you come to see things through God's eyes, when you come to experience things and look on different situations and circumstances that you're dealing with, whether in your own life or in the lives of others, when you see it through his eyes, it's totally different. I mean, any fool can be out there discerning things by their five physical senses and operating in the realm of sense knowledge. And they may have some quote-unquote knowledge, but first of all, it will be false in the sense that as it relates to who a child of God is in Christ, which is why we must always see the children of God as they are in Christ. And when you see things through the Father's eyes, you'll see them just the way that has seen us all these years. You know, he never gave up on us. So it's extremely important that we come into that close and intimate fellowship with the Father and his Word so that these things can become a reality in our life. You know, it takes a deep renewing of the mind. I mean, we came out of a place of selfishness and fear, and we each and every one of us have to be continually renewed presence of God and have our minds renewed so that we come into the place of abiding in the mind of Christ, that we no longer seek after the mind of the flesh for any kind of wisdom or understanding. And you know, again, we're going to see some examples as we go along here. But now we're coming down to a critical time. As I was praying about this message, it just keeps coming to me that I really don't know how much longer the delegated authorities of God are going to be able to stand in the pulpit and say to the people of God, you know, love one another or have no fear, because the time has come for us to be a prepared people. And it's time to have these basic foundational kingdom truths established in our hearts. Because what's coming, and again, I'll give you an example, but I had an experience in the last couple of weeks that was very, very interesting, and God revealed some things to me about what's going to happen, and it gave me clear understanding how this separation between those who truly love God and those who don't is going to come about. So we'll deal with that. Now down to verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. See, it's amazing when, first of all, he gives us the admonition through the people of Israel in the Old Testament and warns us, of course, through Paul and says, now make sure you pay attention to these. All these things that happened are for your benefit to learn from. And so it's extremely important. Again, he's the writer of Hebrews is going back and quoting some of the words of the prophets. It says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, again, it comes down to, I just made me think of the verse, whatever is not from faith is sin. Another absolute kingdom principle. And yet it's one that's been taken far too lightly by the vast majority of God's people. And so, you know, we should be a people who are continually seeking to allow God to uncover any wrong motivation of any sort. Over the years, I've seen so many schemes of the evil one that have kept God's people out of that intimate fellowship, and they're all lies. It's like, you know, they've still got the image that, oh, if they go in and there's something wrong, that God's going to give them a slap in the head or something like that. And things that, or criticize them, or reject them in some way. And of course, that's the lie that the devil keeps fueling in an attempt to keep people out of that closeness. But I can tell you right now, if God had me do nothing else between now and the time of the catching away of the church, if I just stood up here and said, the Father is perfect, it would be enough. That would certainly put the onus on every last child of God to go forth and get into his presence and find that out for themselves, because he is. And so we have to take all things from that point and begin there, because, it's so important, this area of trust and mistrust. We need to come to the place where we trust God. And the cry in my heart today is for people to really finally get this everywhere, every last Christian, so that they can be prepared for the days ahead. Because the days ahead are not like the days past or even the days now. And we're experiencing some glorious things now. But what is coming is an elevation of an extreme nature. And yet, those who are truly seeking God will be perfectly prepared, will have that assurance. So we don't want to be those people who are in any way having an unbelieving heart and thus falling away from the living God, because that's what that produces. So in verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And again, this word hardened is very, very important. We cannot afford to let ourselves be hardened of heart. Now, the greatest danger that I've seen so far, I started off with this, I didn't finish it. Again, there's extremes on both ends. There's people who are so totally bound by religion that they have no concept of what the Word of God is saying and what the Father's plan is. And then there's other people on the other end that are very, very close to the kingdom, but yet they're still maintaining some element of self. And so therefore they are putting forth doctrines that are not accurate in the things of God. So the people of God have to be in a position to be able to discern what the will of God is and to understand what he is planning to do in these days. In John 7:17, the scripture says, if anyone is willing to do his will, then he will know of the teaching. Or then he will know, not just the teaching, but every word that proceeds forth from the true delegated authorities of God. Or they'll know what from a false delegated authority, whether it's an inaccurate word. That's a promise of God. Not one Christian should ever be afraid of being deceived. If you put yourself in the proper position and give the word preeminence in your life, you will not be deceived. I mean, in my own life, when I started off, as I said before, I started off in total fear, and God was able to lead me miraculously and with his grace through all the different teachings and whatever else was going on at the time, and brought me to a place where I could recognize between the two. And you don't have to be in this for 40 or 50 years to get this right. It's all based on the purity of your heart. If you maintain a pure heart, life becomes simple in the sense that you enter into rest, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. If we want to give a quick definition to rest, just as we go on to read these passages, let it be understood that rest is simply coming to the place, a heart position, where we have ceased desiring or seeking after ourselves in any way, shape, or form. And if there's anything else, as long as we do that day by day, if there's anything else that remains we don't know about, God is faithful to finish the work that he's begun in us, so we don't need to fear that. And I've watched him work in me, and I've watched him work in others, and he does it perfectly. The only time people get in trouble with God is when they take a position of rebellion against him. And I'm going to touch on Korah's rebellion today to a degree. Really, the one thing that is on the Father's heart is to release, or one of the big things that's on the Father's heart, is to release a great number of delegated authorities, people such as yourselves that have been raised up and being prepared for a position and training, and whatever that is, a specific position for a specific time, for a specific purpose, for a specific people. Whether that's the people you meet in the day-to-day streets or whether you're called as an apostle or prophet or pastor, it makes no difference. We all have the same ministry. It's the ministry of Jesus. So the point is, this is a time of preparation. And we've talked at great length, and I'm not going to talk about that today, about the need to get any unworthiness and things out, things like that. Because, you know, we are approved by God, you know, by the blood of Jesus. You know, we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And it's time to get these things snapped into place so that we can go on to the deeper things. So in the days ahead, we are going to talk about delegated authorities and the effect that they're going to have on the body. Because there is going to be a chain reaction come forth from the throne room that's going to affect every last member of the body of Christ, particularly, of course, those who are truly seeking him. So again, we have to be ready. Now, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, or the promised land, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Now, one of the important things here, because this was a judgment on the people of Israel too, there was very, very few, of course, made it into the promised land. Moses himself didn't make it into the promised land. But the fact is that in these days, as we enter into the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, we are going to have the proper heart position before God. Because the same judgment is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you know, it's a very severe warning to people. You know, get yourself in a position where the Word can continually expose and reveal anything that would cause an unbelieving heart, anything that would cause one to sin, anything that would lead to a hardness of heart. And you see, if we do these things in simple faithfulness to God, then we'll be fine, and we will be fine. Therefore, let us fear, lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. You know why the word isn't united by faith in the people who've heard? Because they still have some element of self-desire and self-seeking in them. And therefore, when the word comes forth, it's not able to knit itself to the heart. It's not able to enter in. The scripture says that the entrance of the word produces light. But see, the word will not enter in the way it needs to and freely into a heart that's hardened. And so consequently, people come to the place where they're still in that in an area of sin, and therefore they're not able to hear the word coming. And this is extremely important in this hour, because God is about to turn up the heat on the anointing of those coming, those who are pure in heart. And particularly with the advent of the true apostles, prophets, pastors, and so on, there are some out there now, of course, but I mean, there, the whole establishment of divine government, we are going to see some reactions. And again, I'm not going to hurry because I'd like to get to that now, but I'm going to share more about that and the effects of the third day anointing on sin. So we need to be people who are sinless. Because it will be no small thing. Okay, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. And he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. So he's making it quite clear of why the people couldn't enter into the fullness of all that he had for them. And we have to, again, allow the Holy Spirit to do the deepest work of the cross in us so that any element, any ground that produces disobedience rather than a hungering and thirsting after righteousness is removed. And then we can freely obey him. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. And here's the key, right here. Don't be concerned about entering into rest. Just pay attention to verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What a great deception it's been, you know, over the years and throughout many hundreds of years now, that many people have allowed themselves to get caught up in. And that is that God can see all that's said and done. He knows the motivation of every heart. As a matter of fact, that's what he bases his reaction on. That's why when people walk around in sense knowledge, they have absolutely no clue of what God's doing, and of course the devil controls their life. I turn over to Isaiah 58. And here's a word that was given a while ago, but it's something we have to understand. It's man's own understanding and wisdom, and his self-esteem or self-desire are the poison which will cause him to harden his heart against God. In other words, if people maintain self-desire, it's like a poison that creeps in, a very slow poison. And something like, I just thought of the cholesterol, things like that, excesses that, how that could slip in over the years can actually cause a blockage, you know, in the vessels to the heart and so on, the arteries to the heart. And so the same way, we must guard our heart with all diligence each and every day so that none of this poison is slipping in, and slipping in very gradually. Of course, the devil would do it. Isaiah. Now, in Isaiah 58, starting in verse 1, cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day. The house of Jacob was a key word there. Yet they seek me day by day, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that has done righteousness, and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. But then they say, why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and thou dost not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire. And so what has happened here is, if people allow themselves to maintain self-desire, and which of course leads to all sorts of things like self-effort, leaning on one's own understanding, and so on, then they shut themselves out of that proximity to God, because you can't do your own thing and dwell in the presence of God. You can't do it. We've all tried, not purposely, but you know, that's how God deals with us. And the more time you spend with God, the more your desires will be conformed to His desires, and we'll deal with the scripture on that. And it goes on to talk about different things, and he talks about contention, all the different things that happen when people aren't walking by the Spirit. And then in verse 6, he says, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke?" What is our job as the church? I mean, we talked last time about the fact that we were bought with a price, that we might no longer live for ourselves. Who are we living for? Well, of course, first of all, for God, but also for the captives. Everybody who is in bondage that will cross our path, and it's extremely important that we do no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God. And as a matter of fact, our sole motivation should be our love of the Father. You know, when you're dealing with a situation, you're walking day by day, and you're having a bit of a problem, just do a gut check or a heart check. Find out what your sole motivation is. Does it, when you strip it all down, does it come down to the fact you're doing this because you love God? Because you're thankful of what He's done for you? If there's any other reason, then you need to repent. It's that simple, actually. But the fact is, it's very, very easy to live for other people in the name of God. And that's not, you're not going to do them any good. That's precisely why Jesus said it, you know, if you love fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, children, lands, and so on, more than me, then you're not fit to be my disciple. Why? Because self is still on the throne. And in the kingdom, self accomplishes nothing. It's total futility. And of course, that's where the church is moving, to a place where everyone is walking with both feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God, and walking in the principles of God, empowered totally by the love of God and the faith of God. It's going to be an awesome time, and it's a critical time now for people who've been fooling around out in the religious world to get hold of this. So I'm going to move on here. I want to read this. Spiritual darkness is caused by a greater desire to be right in one's own thinking than to come to the knowledge of the truth at all cost of the flesh. And this is the problem now. If any self-desire remains, and if there's any doubt, people should just throw themselves before God and allow Him, His light, to shine in upon our hearts. Because this spiritual darkness, that it's mentioned in Isaiah 60, a deep darkness that's encompassing the earth. And of course, the contrast to that is the glorious church rising up in great light and power. But we need to beware this spiritual darkness. It is a devious and devastating thing. And it's a very subtle thing. It's not something that is so obvious that people who aren't tuned into God, will not be able to comprehend that unless we are tuned into God. And of course, spiritual darkness only exists when the natural is put in place of the divine. And I mean, what's all the preaching that's been coming forth? We're talking about coming into total reliance on God. We're talking about His glory being manifested in our midst. We're talking about total empowerment for all things in all situations. That's the glorious church. The glorious, that's the spotless and unblemished church. So these are goals that we're heading towards. But somehow this time is accelerating even more, and we have to be extremely ready. Now, back to Isaiah 58, verse 8. So, again, if we go through if we come into a place where we are in obedience to God, we're walking in obedience, we're truly seeing all things through His eyes, we're truly fulfilling the desires of His heart, then we're going to see some things. He says in verse 8, "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth," or your restoration will speedily spring forth, "and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer." And so you see, if we put ourselves in position in the presence of God and allow Him to establish godly desire in our heart, allow Him to come to bring us into perfect agreement with the deepest thoughts and intentions of His heart, then these things will happen. we will have the necessary light at all times. Why? Because we'll have a single eye and we'll be filled with the light. Our motives will be pure. Any recovery, any restoration that's needed physically and any other way will come through this position in Christ. It says our righteousness will go before us. In other words, wherever we go, whatever we do, the force of righteousness will be revealed. What a powerful thing that is. And again, we're going to talk about this when we begin to talk about the effect of the righteousness of God flowing forth to affect the unrighteous. So we want to be those vessels of righteousness. It says the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. There's a scripture that I took to heart many, many years ago. Just in the position I was in, I needed a rear guard. And we all need a rear guard. And the fact is, you can go forth with your eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that your back is entirely covered, that you're totally protected and totally prepared to fulfill the fullness of God's will. See, these are all important things, and they're all a matter of position. You know, if we put ourselves in the right position concerning God, then our heart will be established in Him, and all these things will be manifest in our life, and the fruit of the Spirit, all the things, the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. And we will walk just as Jesus walked in this earth, just simply tending to the Father's business, whatever that might be in any given moment. Okay, let's go to verse 13. Oh, no, let's go back here to 10. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then is an important word in the Bible. Because it says the preceding command or the preceding statement that God is making is a catalyst to what follows. And He says, then your light will rise in darkness. It doesn't matter how dark it gets in the world. If we have the right heart position towards God, we will have the necessary light. We will have the necessary revelation knowledge to do whatever God would have us do, to be protected, to protect others, in the sense of ministering the word to them, getting them free from what they're in bondage to. And the Lord will continually guide you. What did He say in Proverbs? He said, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your paths, or I will guide you. Well, if we acknowledge Him continually, then He will direct our paths continually. Makes sense. And satisfy your desire in scorched places. Let's go over to John. Keep your hand there. Let's go over to John 15 quickly. It's a time wherein we have to be a people who are in proper position. God is willing to establish the true or the proper spiritual environment that we need in order to fulfill all that we were created for in Christ. Now, there are some people who are in difficult circumstances right now. And the one exhortation that I have for those people is this. Whatever circumstance you're in, however good, however bad, however indifferent it seems to the fulfillment of you fulfilling God's will, obey in the circumstances you're in, continuing to acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will bring you to higher ground. He will continually establish the necessary environment for you to come into that place of, again, the fulfillment of His will. And we've talked about this before. Sometimes I used to think I wasn't in the right environment over the years. And I'd say, oh God, if I was just in this environment or that environment, I'd be fine, I'd be better. And of course, at times He would bring me to that environment, but I still had some disobedience in my life. So I was still doing the same dumb things. And so the devil was still able to keep me in that place, no matter what environment I was in. So finally, He got it across to me, He was able to get it across to me, that if I will just simply obey, then He will bring me to the circumstances. Because just because our circumstances change doesn't mean our heart's going to change. If we allow Him to change our heart, then no matter what circumstance we're in, we will still be walking in love and obedience. And that has to be the heart of the Third Day Church. We don't have any room for error. I love that expression. You see, because when I talk about error, I'm not talking about mistakes. I mean, anybody can make a mistake. You just turn around and go the other way. But error is a heart problem, and it's rooted in rebellion. And so that's what I mean by error. When we talk about a doctrine that is in error, we're talking about a doctrine that's rooted in the mind of the flesh, rooted in the rebellion of man towards God, and a man trying to put forth or promote something that's not of God in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's error. So we can walk above that error. Now, John 15, if we'll be in right position with God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me does not bear fruit. He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, this whole importance of abiding. Again, position, abiding. The word abode comes to mind. Where you live. You know, where you live. What is the reason you're on this earth? Is it to live holy for God? Is it to fulfill everything that he created you for? That's what has to be stripped down in us continually. And as we examine our hearts in light of the Word of God, and when we could come to that place where we are solely motivated simply because of the love that we have for God, then God will be able to use us to do great things and do a real number on the devil and his schemes. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, what's the scripture in Romans say? What did Paul say? He said, there is no good in me, no, not in the flesh. Another absolute kingdom principle. Because we are incapable of walking in love apart from God. He is love. We're incapable of walking in forgiveness continually. And all these things. The people in the flesh, they are incapable. And we as Christians need to come to a realization that without Christ, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love, we can do nothing for the kingdom, nothing for the establishment of the church. And consequently, we shouldn't be spending any effort on that. Now, the key here is this, verse 7. If you abide in me, there's an if. We've had a then, here's an if. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, have their place in our heart. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, I remember when I first read that scripture, I thought, no, that's impossible. Because, you know, when we start out, we have all these desires. I mean, we have desires for career, we have desires for this, that, and everything else. We're totally controlled by self-desire when we start out in service to God. But through the renewing of the mind, through the entrance of his word, which produces light, then you see the desire that was once self-desire or for self is now entirely for God. And that's what he's saying here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then whatever you desire, just ask it and you'll have it. Why? Because every time we pray, we're going to pray in light of God's corporate will for the church. We're going to pray in light of our part in that. And again, that is the place of pinpoint accuracy in prayer. And there shouldn't be wasted prayer. But I mean, it's total futility. Why should we pray from self? It absolutely does nothing for the establishment of the church and the kingdom. Okay, back to Isaiah 58. I'm jumping around here, but I have to go where the Spirit leads me, because I so much want to get to the story of Korah, at least a bit, because I could show you what will be the catalyst for the civil war that's about to begin, full scale, just from that story. So, in Isaiah 58, verse 13, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then, you will take delight in the Lord. Again, that's I'm talking about that motivation of doing things just simply because of our love for the Father, our love for Jesus and for what he did for us. See, these things are real, but they're easily forgotten if we ever allow ourselves to come into a position where we can hear the lies of the evil one more clearly than we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Again, there's a whole study. Bill did a whole study on Jacob, and it's worthwhile to go back and hear that again, because it's extremely important, because we are the Jacob generation. Why? Because we are the generation that's seeking after the face of God more than anything else. More than anything else. So, again, when I thought of that scripture, what it said, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, it makes me think of our position that we have in Christ. I mean, we have a physical position in the mountains, and that's a high place in this earth. But to me, spiritually, it speaks of walking in the fullness of our authority in Christ, continually seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. See, this is the place. This is the position from which all things will be done in the days ahead. And, you know, it's not up to us to go around and judge other people and see who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. Our job is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, be perfectly prepared so that when God does lead somebody who's on the borderline across our path, we'll be able to be used as a vessel of His love to put them over and get them into the place where they are fit to be His disciple. Because God loves every one of His children the same, even the religious ones. But He's raising up an army, and there are very, very strict qualifications for the position this army. And it's faith, it's love, and it's obedience, without exception. And, of course, that eliminates all a desire for self. See, we don't have to be concerned, again, about if there's self-desire in us. As long as we remain in proper position with God, these things will be worked out. You can't get rid of it yourself. I can't get rid of it myself. All these things, you see, that God is doing are totally by His power. And that's why we will be a people that are totally empowered by Him. If we could have done any of this ourselves and tried to step into the third day, we would fall the same way people in the second day did, because self was still there and Christ was not all in all. But so you see, we are going to be a people. You can liken yourself, and God showed this to me in a vision, and a few other people through the body of Christ. Seemed to be a lot of surfing visions came out at one point there a few years ago. The way God showed it to me was, we will simply be the surfer. He will provide the surfboard, and He will provide the wave of glory that we will ride on. And He will empower us to stay on the surfboard, you know, when it comes crashing down, that wave comes crashing down on a perverse and wicked generation. So, again, it's a matter of position, heart position. You need have no fear of empowerment. You just need to desire to fulfill all that you were created for in Christ. And if you maintain that desire by guarding your heart with all diligence each day, He will bring you to where you need to be. There is coming a cutoff line. We know that's been prophesied before, but it's getting closer and closer and very much more at a much higher speed than one can imagine. We don't want to be a people who are caught in any way. There's a lot of bear traps out there around as we walk, but if we will acknowledge God in all our ways, He will direct our paths, and at the same time that He's dealing with us, He will keep us out of those traps. He's faithful. You know, it's just, there's coming a time where we just have to quite simply come to believe that what God has said He is, and that He is trustworthy, perfectly trustworthy. It's just coming down to that, and we need to be a people who believe that. Now, again, earlier I mentioned about true delegated authorities, and they're being raised up in this hour. To the degree that one trusts in the Father, that I'm talking about the relationship they have, it's to that degree that they're going to be able to receive the words that come forth from the throne room. I'm very, very serious about this. I don't know how much time I'll have to get into it today, but I'm going to share with you some of the effects of the third day anointing coming forth through righteous men and women, righteous vessels. That's every member of the body of Christ who is in a place of right standing with God, of course, and walking in obedience. And it is going to turn this world upside down. We saw a glimpse of it in the early church. They turned the world upside down. It's going to be turned upside down once again. And of course, as we look out of the world now, it's a little more populated and a little more established than it was 2,000 years ago. So when this world gets turned upside down, it's going to be an impact that's going to be something. Now, again, it's important to understand, have a revelation of God's integrity. Because if you don't understand God's integrity, you'll never come to believe that God can work through a man or woman in that same integrity. It's just the way it is. And so it's very, very important. See, it's the men and women of God, the true delegated authorities that are about to come forth, that have come forth, are simply messengers. They're simply messengers of the deepest thoughts and thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart. You know, it's not like people are standing up here coming up with things themselves. It's to me, and it should be to you also, it's obvious when you hear a man or a woman speak and there's self at the root of what they're saying. Doesn't matter how spiritual it looks. To me, it's obvious. And we in the third day, one of the great things about the third day anointing is the clarity that comes. Great clarity. Not only clarity to understand what's coming in, but clarity to discern and to understand what's happening. The Father said to me years ago, he said, in the last of the last hour, he said, those who are walking in faithfulness and obedience to me in the glorious church will read the hearts of all those who cross their path like an open book. Now, you know God's not going to entrust that to a people who are going to turn around and start gossiping and slandering and criticizing and using that as a tool for self-exaltation. No, it's a matter of integrity. When God reveals something to us, it's for the purpose of prayer. But we will know what's going on. We will not be ignorant of Satan's schemes in any way. And as a matter of fact, already he's coming to the place where he's going to have a hard time finding volunteers, just like he did in Jesus' ministry, to come and try to trick him with questions, you know, try and have their say. That day is ending, and as the days go on and the teachings go on, I'm going to share some words from the Father concerning, again, the effect of the third day anointing. And people, it's a dangerous thing for people to have rebellion in their hearts in this time. And if I ever get to Korah's rebellion, we'll see some more of that. Integrity is defined as uprightness of character, honesty, the state of being complete or being undivided. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be as Christians? Totally given to God, totally in a place where we're cleansed from all defilement of flesh and spirit, separated from the world and its ways. Fellowship with the world and its ways and that system. And it comes from the Latin word integer, which means untouched. So we're talking about people who are untouched by the world and its ways, which are selfishness and greed and all those things that go with that, and darkness, and totally in the hand of God. So that's important. Again, it's important to understand faith empowers one to trust wholly in God, while fear causes one to trust wholly in themselves. And that, of course, opens the door wide to the lies of the evil one. Again, position. Position, position. Because the day is coming when, like I said, the vision he showed me, like a VCR with the pause button and a freeze frame, things are just going to be caught where they are. And, you know, that ever since, it was either Bill or Marsha or both, did that scripture out of Revelation, I believe it's 22:10, is that the one? The Lord is near, or the time is at hand. And the fact is, he said, let the righteous remain righteous. Let the unrighteous remain unrighteous. You know, and so on and so on. And the fact is that there's coming a time, see, God is coming to accomplish his work through the glorious church. And what this is going to do is people are going to get caught where they are. There will be a time for repentance. And there will be a time, a very brief time, but it will be very difficult. And of course, by that time, all the things that have been established in the flesh, in ministry or whatever else, will be totally taken away for them to go on. Again, it's that vision of the bridge. You're not going to be taking a second day ministry into the third day across that bridge. We've talked about it before. It's a wonderful vision. The fact is that that bridge is the perfect size for us to fit across. You know, I mean, when I saw when Bill spoke that vision, I automatically, in the days following that, I saw the fact that there was actually a roof on that bridge, and it was the same height as I was. And then the width of the bridge was the same width as I was. There was no movement. It was just simply keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and move straight across. And so, there wasn't a bunch of room for bags and things like that to take with us baggage. So we need to be streamlined. Lean, mean fighting machines. That's really what it comes down to. And to be lean spiritually, is a matter of, again, being in the presence of God, allowing Him to prune and shape us and cut the things off that are not needed. Believe me, if we don't, if God says we don't need it, we don't need it. Okay, it's becoming quite obvious to me that I'm not going to make it to into the fullness of what I was going to do with Korah. Turn over to, here, 2 Chronicles 20:20. You don't have to turn there. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Now, to me, that you'll be established in your heart. You'll be established in your relationship with Him. And then it says, put your trust in His prophets or His true delegated authorities and succeed. Why? Because they're simply delivering the message from God with accuracy. And if you act on it, it's not acting on the words of a man or woman. It's acting on the words that are coming out of the heart of God from the throne room. It's a simple concept, but of course it's been fouled up over the years because people have stood in the pulpit or other places of delegated authority and totally abused it for their own self-seeking and so on. But those days are coming to an end. And if you, if the body of Christ will come to a place where their heart remains pure, then they will know of the teaching. They will understand exactly what is needed. They will be in the right position. They will be with the delegated authorities that God has set in their life. Because, again, we've talked about this before, but the fact is that in Ephesians 4, when he talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and the established the fivefold ministry, it's for one purpose alone. That's to see every member come to that same level that the Father desires them to be at. It's not for the... If people are sitting, anybody who's sitting there, not here, but anybody anywhere that's sitting and expecting some hierarchy to come and say, oh, well, yeah, now we can just affix ourselves to that. No. We won't get into this today, but the establishment of divine government is predicated just as much on the least member of the body than the greatest member of the body, so to speak, because we're all the same in the Father's sight. And it won't work without the active participation of every last member coming to the place of abiding in revelation. So it's extremely important that we realize that we are approved of God and that we have great usefulness in His plan, that He has a great plan for us to bear much fruit. And there's coming a day very soon where I won't say scales, but just anything that's blocking a fuller vision of the body of Christ or the glorious church is going to fall off. And I'll tell you right now, I'll prophesy this to you, we're all going to find ourselves better prepared than we ever could have even imagined in the place we're in right now. Even though we know we're being prepared, of course. So you could maintain guarding your heart with all diligence and know that God is perfectly preparing you spiritually and positionally to come into the fullness of all He created you for. And that's what it's all about. If a Christian's living for anything else other than that, they're on the wrong planet. That's the way it is. All right. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:5, it talks about men in the last days, difficult times will come, and men will become lovers of self, and many other things, arrogance, all the manifestations of the flesh, and really the manifestation of rebellion. And so, consequently, it's a deadly time now. Because you could be very easily drawn towards those who are rebellious. So he says, avoid such men as these. Avoid that spirit. We are going to have a confrontation, a major confrontation, both individually and corporately in the church, with the spirit of rebellion. God is going to expose everything in the midst of His people that's apart from Christ. Okay, and I read that about that. Hosea 4:6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Again, we're talking about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is what will get you through. A sensitive heart is what will allow the entrance of His Word to produce the needed light. You can have the assurance that as you faithfully seek God day in and day out, you will know what you need to know at any given moment. You'll never have to sit there and worry about whether you're going to know something. If you need to know it, God will reveal it to you. And what He doesn't reveal to you then, He'll reveal it to you in good time. And even if He doesn't reveal something to you in eternity, it doesn't make any difference. But ultimately, all things will come to light. Really, when you maintain that heart attitude, you'd be surprised what He'll reveal to you. So it's very, very important to keep that. Turn over to Psalm 1. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this scripture, but and then I'm going to give you a little tidbit for the next time, because then the next teaching will have to be totally on Korah's rebellion and understanding some things on that. But in Psalm 1, it's the whole thing. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Again, there's position. If you're in right position, you will not be walking in the counsel of the wicked. "Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight," or his desire, "is in the law of the Lord," or the word of God. "And in his law," or in his word, "he meditates day and night." Again, bringing every thought captive to revelation knowledge. "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season." There's two things there. There's that root structure, that rooted and grounded in love and in righteousness that we've talked about. And then it talks about by the streams of water, and then, of course, yielding the fruit in the due season, or in its season. It's coming. You see, our season's coming, a season of great fruitfulness for the church. "And its leaf does not wither." In other words, it's continually sustained. "And in whatever he does, he prospers." Why is that? That is because our desire is totally for the will of God. It's totally for the fulfillment of his plan. It's totally to see the captive set free. I mean, really set free. I don't mean a little touch here and there. That's no good. That's no good. No, I'm talking about laying the axe to the root of Satan's scheme and causing people to not only be set free from the bondage, but not only to be born again if they're not born again, not only to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but to be baptized with fire, to operate with divine passion for the will of God in their remaining time. That's the church that we're evangelizing. That's the church that we're causing to rise up from the world. That's the church that's coming. We don't need a religious church. I'll tell you, Satan's not going to have his way anymore. And we're going to get the job done and leave. And then he'll have his way for a season. But we all know his ending. Now, I just turn over to Numbers 15. I can do this very quickly. Now, this is the story of Korah's rebellion. Now, Marcia dealt with this scripture a few weeks ago and touched on some things. But I just want to do two things quickly. No, I can't do that. All right, I will do this. Okay, first of all, we've heard Bill talk about the civil war that's coming in the church. And basically, when I do the next teaching, I'll teach on this. But the fact is this. Moses was a man who was in right fellowship with God. And he spent time on the mountain. And in that place, God revealed many, many things to him. I mean, obviously, he revealed the first five books of the Bible to him. How else would Moses have known those stories? And many other things, including the instructions that he was given. Now, in this particular story, he gave an instruction. And in Numbers 15, verse 37, it says, "The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord." Remember all the commandments of the Lord. He didn't say most of them. He said all the commandments of the Lord. "So as to do them, and not follow after your own heart or your own desires and your own eyes after which you played the harlot." So there's a rebuke in there, you see, because they'd done some things. Now, to make a long story short, I'm going to close here. "In order that you may remember," in verse 40, "to do all my commandments and be holy to your God." There is the absolute requirement that we are. Be holy as I am holy. Now, the reason why this is the catalyst for the civil war is because when the delegated authorities of the third day begin to minister, and they already are, beginning to minister these absolute truths, coming out saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Be holy as he is holy. Do nothing apart from Christ." But in the power of the third day anointing, it is going to offend to the core anybody in delegated authority that has self-desire in their heart. And that is going to be the catalyst to begin this thing. And next time, I'm going to deal with how we're going to prepare our hearts and why we need to and what the effects of that third day anointing going forth are going to be. Amen.